Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Oh, Miles here.
Your owl post is freshly delivered, and I am just one of the hosts here, Matthew Rushing, and I'm excited to welcome the one, the only, the incredible, the incomparable, the amazing, Drea Kaufman.
Hello. Hello.
It's great to have you here, Drea. And I do wish, you know, I think people would find our previous conversation before we started recording hilarious. Suffice it to say, it was Hogwarts After Hours conversation. Yes. And I don't even really remember how it started, but it turned into something. Yeah, we had way too much fun together. But this is what your hosts do before they start recording. But we're excited to be back because we're going to be diving into Chapter 2 of The Goblet of Fire. So excited to do that because we start to get into some of the meat. We actually learn a big revelation right here at the beginning. So before we do that, though, make sure you're following us all over the place, especially in social media. Follow us on at Join Nerd Party. You're going to want to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdParty. Share that with everybody, too. In fact, we post our
caring,
shows
everyone.
There.
Yeah. Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring, especially when you share our posts when we post it to your Facebook page so other people will find it. And another great way to do that, go to Apple Podcasts, give us a star rating review, let us know what you think of the show, and help more Harry Potter fans find the show. And then last but not least, over on thenerdparty.com, you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact. You can choose a show, choose Owlpost, and you can send an email to us, and Drea and I will get that and be able to converse with you there. So I was shocked, Drea. It has been a little bit since I have read The Goblet of Fire, and I was surprised at how quickly she confirms that Harry was dreaming about what just happened at the Riddle House.
Yes. He wakes up with his scar hurting him, and he's back at Privet Drive with him, so I only got one chapter worth of reprieve from the Dursleys, but, well, technically two, but...
Yeah, because they're not even in this chapter, really. I mean, they're asleep.
They're referenced.
Thank God.
They're referenced, but we don't actually have to deal with them specifically, which is nice. But yeah, I was also reminded of how short this chapter is. I sort of feel like it was that snippet at the beginning of the TV show you watch. It's like, last week on. It's like, last book
Harry
on
Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 5 or 6 pages. You get, and the only kind of new information you get is that Harry was dreaming. That Dudley's on a diet that's not going well. And that he's had minimal contact with Sirius. And that's like all you know. Like, that's it. Done.
Well,
hands washed. podcast over.
Well, and so I love in this chapter, though, because Harry is really trying to remember this dream because he can remember that something really important was happening. But he can't remember all the details, like that moment when you wake up in the morning, early in the morning, or maybe at night, and you're remembering that dream, and it's so vivid, like for a few seconds, and then it starts to go away. And he remembers, though, that Voldemort and Wormtail were talking about killing somebody, and he couldn't remember the name of the person they'd killed, but they were also planning on killing somebody else, and it's him. I just feel so sorry for him. Like, can we not go a year without somebody trying to kill me?
No. No. You can't, Harry. You can't. Sorry.
It does kind of, it just kind of sucks for this guy. I mean, Harry has it rough. And it's interesting to watch him talk about, you know, the idea of, you know, he's got this scar on his forehead, and it's not normal for him to have this scar. And he remembers back, and she does this in a way that allows you to, kind of recall all that's happened. But the idea that this scar was given to him and nobody else has anything like this. Like, it makes him very unique, and that's one of the reasons that he's famous. But then he also starts remembering the litany of all the other things that have happened to him. He's lost the arms in his bones. He's fallen from
his
great height. Yeah, I mean, like, and you start to think of, like, oh, gosh. It kind of becomes that thing. I don't know if any listeners listen to or watch Grey's Anatomy, but it's kind of that thing where, like, how many things have happened to this hospital in the last 14 years?
Right.
It's
how many of the doctors here have to die? Like, what are the odds of you losing that many doctors to tragic, massive events?
Doesn't seem plausible.
No, it doesn't. Well, it's like when you watch Psych and you're like, how many people get murdered in the town of Santa Barbara every year? Like, their murder capita rate must be massive.
Yeah. So I also really like the idea that she uses here of Harry thinking about, I should write my friends. And then he thinks through each one. Oh, well, what would I actually tell them? That's, well, if I wrote Hermione. And then I love that he imagines in her head, his head, exactly what she would write back. And it's so perfect. And then on top of that, Harry starts debunking Hermione's ideas by saying, like, I'm the only one who survived this curse. So there's not going to be anything in any books. So that doesn't make sense. Well, maybe I should talk about Professor Dumbledore and his thoughts about Dumbledore. Cracked me up.
Yeah, I really, well, I like that he kind of spot on gets all of his friends' like responses down. He gets Hermione's down. I like that he almost considers writing Ron, and he's okay with Ron telling Mr. Weasley, but doesn't want Mrs. Weasley because she's going to be worse than Hermione in terms of her panic. Like, it was just so cute how well he already knows it. And it was, even though it was sort of a recap summary, it's still nice to be reminded. Right. And see it not just like, oh, I don't tell them because they'll worry. Like, she literally writes the responses that you would get as the character. So you're sort of reintroduced to these character attributes without it being quite so expository.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the best part of the chapter is getting Dumbledore after hours at Hogwarts. Harry's like, what does he do during the summer? And then he has the amusing idea of Dumbledore on a beach, stretched out with his suntan lotion all over him and on his nose. And it's really funny. And then he's like, writing the letter to him. Dear Professor Dumbledore, sorry to bother you, but my scar hurt this morning. Sincerely yours, Harry Potter. And it just, he's like, even in my head, that sounds so dumb.
It does. Well, and I love that he does this thing. Well, I love that Harry does it. I hate that my husband does it. But they take, like, the argument to a ridiculous extent, right? They're like, he's like, hello, Dumbledore, my scar hurt. Thanks for reading. You know, like, he took it to that, like, of course I wouldn't write that. That's stupid. When really you're like, no, tell him you saw this dream and it was dangerous and you thought you saw someone kill. Like, there is a valid thing he could be sharing here, but he's taken it to this, like, there is a term for it that I can't think of right now. He took this argument to this preposterous, like, made it so ridiculous and made it so, he riddled it down to this tiny little thing. When, you know, you're like, oh, okay, fine, I get it. You're not going to do it. Fine. I think it's just so funny. It's just really true to Harry's character too, that he's got that's what he does, right? He sort of rationalizes his way out of that. So,
well, and I like that Harry realizes he needs some kind of connection, you know, like, this is, he needs somebody to tell him something. He can't just keep this himself, which is nice that Harry is getting that. Like, he's becoming more used to the fact of not doing things on his own. But he needs somebody, and he thinks in his head, I wish I had somebody like a parent. And then it clicks for him, I should write Sirius. And, you know, they've been conversing back and forth, and it's great that he does write him the letter. But what I also love is that Sirius has been pretty helpful to Harry in his time at the Dursleys. And I'm not sure Sirius necessarily even knows how helpful he's been. But, well, Harry's had a much better summer because of his dangerous, murderous godfather.
Right. I love that he still is looming that over everyone's head.
It's awesome. I love how Harry's like conveniently forgotten to tell them that Sirius was innocent. Oh, it's just fantastic. But yeah, we end the chapter with him finishing a letter there very early in the morning and then getting dressed to go down for breakfast. And also, one last thing that we did find out in the chapter two that I love is that Harry is eagerly awaiting that promised invitation to the Quidditch World Cup and to hang out with the Weasleys. So he's hoping to not have to spend too much more time here at Privet Jibe, which is also an excellent summer.
Yes. Yes. And I did find it really entertaining, his dialogue on Dudley. You know, he's on a diet, which I find interesting that they'd even bother to put him on a diet. That tells me someone had to tell them to do that, because I don't see Aunt Petunia and Uncle Vern just doing that of their own sort of free will, you know, based on the fact that Uncle Vern is a rather portly fella himself. You know, so someone had to have told them to do that. And I find it interesting that it's like not going well and he threw his PlayStation out the window and Harry's like, well, that doesn't help because now he doesn't even have it as a distraction anymore. You know, they're going to cut off his pocketbook money. Like the whole thing was just hilarious.
Yeah. You know what I loved? It's a way of poking at that kind of parenting that gives their child everything they want and then wondering why they turn out to be a monster.
Right.
You know, because, you know, that's not good for us as human beings, is to get everything we want and to be center of everybody's universe. So, I really, you know, that is one of the things that I really enjoy about the way that she writes the Dursleys, and she shows the importance of, if you do have parents, of correct parenting.
Right.
And the lack of good parenting. And what it's so interesting is we've talked about before, but it really is, you have the mirror between the Dursleys and then the Weasley family and the way their kids turn out. I mean, you know, the twins are goofballs, right? Uh-huh. But they're still good people inside. They just sometimes like to have a little bit too much fun. And so I think that she does a great job of showing both sides, and she really just, she never tells you one's right and one's wrong, but again, with Rowling's writing here, which I think is beautiful, she lets you make up your own mind, and your own mind's like, yeah, I'd much rather be around the Weasley kids because, I could tolerate them.
Right.
And even like them, so that's fantastic, so... Well, I mean, that is the end of the chapter. It is a shorter one, and the next chapter is called The Invitation. So maybe Harry will get an invitation.
Sounds like it. Or
maybe.
I don't know. Or I don't know. It could just be throwing us off, and it's really like a disinvitation.
Yes. Yes, it could be. If anybody wants to talk to you about maybe some of their Harry Potter After Hours ideas,
that my face has been giggling about that since we started.
Yes, yes. Or to be able to see your wonderful baby pictures, where can everybody find you, Drea?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at PCFChick or on Instagram at Drea Kaufman, and it's Kaufman.
And you can find me on Twitter at MattRushing02, and I'm on Instagram under the same name. You can find me here on the network with John Mills doing aggressive negotiations, talking about all things Star Wars every week. It really is a lot of fun, so I hope you'll check it out. I'm over on the Trek FM network talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine with the Orb. And then you can also find me on the 602 Club talking everything under the sun geek-wise that we can try and fit in, of course, you know, whether that's Harry Potter or Star Wars or Bond or Marvel, DC, we're trying to fit it all in, so make sure you check that out. And then last but not least, doing Cinema Stories with my good friend Courtney, and we're talking about films through the lens of faith and kind of digging in with the morals, meanings, and messages. So, and you can find all of those wherever you get your podcasts. But thank you so much for checking your outpost.
Mischief managed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.